When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it'll get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values.
Go to puretalk.com/clay to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/clay.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We're rolling through the second hour of the program. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Continue to go all over the place with the show. Try to connect with as many of you in as many different parts of the country as possible. I am down on the Florida Gulf Coast in Panama City Beach. Buck is in New York City. Tons of Clay and Buck listeners down here along the Gulf Coast region of Florida, Southern Alabama. Lots of the Red State brethren, my big SEC football fans. This is our home base in many ways. We are having an awesome time hanging out with you. Great weather. Starting to kind of finally turn into spring, maybe feeling like summer for many of you out there. And as the summer is starting to get closer and closer, Buck, the Democrats are turning up the heat. And what they're recognizing, I think, is abortion isn't going to be the Hail Mary that they thought it was. It's not going to save them from electoral oblivion this November. And that's because their abortion position is so extreme. And some of you out there are saying, hey, I'm not sure whether I'm seeing this yet. I'm telling you what you're going to see is the argument that is already occurring, which is it's not about Roe v. Wade. It's that your contraception is in danger, which is a lie. It's that that gay people in classrooms is in danger, what Joe Biden tried to argue, which is a lie. They are building extremism in because they're recognizing that most people think, hey, abortion shouldn't be legal in the 7th, 8th, or 9th month. And they're trying to make Republicans seem like extremists. And I got to give credit here. There's also an underlying element that I think is pretty substantial of abortion. Let's be honest. That's actually racist. And the eugenics movement that was much of the basis for abortion, Planned Parenthood, back in the day, kind of jumped right into public view here during testimony in the Senate with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, who confronted Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on the issue of abortion. And if you haven't heard this audio yet, just listen. This is quite the counterpunch from Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina.
In many cases, abortions are of teenage women, particularly low income and often black, who aren't in a position to be able to care for children, have unexpected pregnancies, and it deprives them of the ability often to continue their education to later participate in the workforce. So there is a spillover into labor force participation. Yeah. Yeah. And It means that children will grow up in poverty and do worse themselves. And
thank you. Let me just reclaim my time on the topic.
This is the truth.
I'll just simply say that as a guy raised by a black woman in abject poverty, I'm thankful to be here.
Good moment for Senator Scott there.
Yeah.
Really made the point powerfully, I think, for everybody to hear, which is that there's something really obtuse and evil in many of the arguments that are being made. Right
and
now.
Super racist.
Super
Are you listening
racist.
To well, Janet Yellen well, there? Like, this is one of the lines that I think George W. Bush got so right, Buck. The soft bigotry of low expectations. It was oozing out of her commentary there.
I mean, people should know that, and they don't, by the way, this is not denied. This is not contended or contentious. The founder of Planned Parenthood was a Margaret Sanger.
Yep.
A absolute eugenicist. Believed in eugenics.
Yep.
Believed in limiting what she deemed, quote, undesirables, and spoke to the women's auxiliary of the Ku Klux Klan in New Jersey to generate support for her movement. She supported the Supreme Court's 1927 decision, Buck v. Bell, which allowed for the sterilization of people who were deemed unfit without their consent. She was a horrible human being, okay?
Yeah.
And this is the founder of Planned Parenthood. She was a vile racist. And even there's the, even if you look at even on Planned Parenthood's side, and you'll see this stuff, Clay, they've had to say, yeah, okay, she was an awful eugenicist, but she did so much to liberate women. Does anyone else, you know, just put this into context for a second. Does anyone else in conversation and public discourse these days get that kind of, oh, but they actually did something we really like, so we'll forget that other stuff?
No,
absolutely.
Not.
You know, we're supposed to remove busts of Thomas Jefferson, but Margaret Sanger,
they
the founder
it.
Of Planned, and they do,
in your
right.
home city.
They did it in New York City. That's what I'm thinking of. And Margaret Sanger was a vile human being who believed in destroying undesirable babies. This is reality, folks. And they still celebrate her and her movement. It's pretty outrageous and appalling when you actually look into the history.
Speaking of which, by the way, I went to George Washington University in Washington, D.C., Buck. Did you see that they're trying to strip George Washington's name from George Washington University? There was an editorial in the Washington Post about it, which is amazing, because is the Washington Post therefore calling for the removal of the word Washington in their newspaper name? And remember, Buck, when everybody said Donald Trump was crazy, when he said they're not going to stop with Confederate statues? If you're going to try to tear down the statues of Robert E. Lee or Stonewall Jackson or James Longstreet or any of these Confederate generals, then eventually they're going to come for Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. And all the left-wing libs were like, oh, Donald Trump is so out to lunch there. This is such a slippery slope argument. There's no way that's going to happen. It's happened. And speaking of slippery slope arguments, I'm telling you, this is what they're going to do. Roe v. Wade, not going to argue about abortion. We're going to argue about all your other rights that are under siege. And this is what Mayor Pete is already trying to do. You listen to cut 10 here that we've got. What else is the Supreme Court coming for? Listen to me right now. Suburban moms, suburban women. I was talking to a bunch of moms. There are all different sorts of text chains and viral threads about how contraception's under danger and how now you're not going to be able to even go out and make birth control decisions on your own. Those are lies. The Democrats are trying to get you riled up. You need to be talking to your mom friends and telling them this isn't true. Here's Mayor Pete trying to fan the flames. Listen.
Right now, the focus, rightly, is on women and the right to choose. And I will say, you know, for all of my life and all of modern American history, I think the direction that we've been going in as a country, the direction that the Constitution has led us to in the Supreme Court has been one of expanding rights, has been one of expanding freedoms. And suddenly this decision, if this is what the decision will be, represents a retreat from that. And if this memo turns into a decision, appears to have very little regard for precedent. And I'm not comfortable comforted by any of the reassurances that would not lead to other freedoms falling.
I mean, this is what you're going to hear, because their arguments are not persuasive. So what are they doing? They're saying things. This is what the Democrat playbook right now is unfolding for all of us to see. You can just watch this day by day as it goes. They say things that are not true about the decision. They try to frighten people about the implications of this. They do this constantly, by the way. They said about Citizens United, it would be unprecedented foreign cash coming into our elections. None of that was true. What they actually wanted, not to get too deep into Citizens United, the federal government under the Obama administration held that they had a right to ban books in advance of an election from publication. Not allowed to publish a book within 60 days or 90 days, and that was a federal right in Citizens United, which is crazy. And that's what the Obama Solicitor General tried to advance in that argument, and the left just lied about it. Oh, it's foreign money. On this, they're lying about it, of course, again, on a whole range of issues. Their arguments are super weak. The argument on precedent, this is just, this is like arguing with a toddler. Like, they just keep coming back to this. Precedent isn't what they seem to, you know, that word does not mean what they seem to think it means. It doesn't mean that you can never overturn something. It doesn't mean that that stare decisis is set in stone. And now with this, Clay, it's, oh man, we're not getting people fired up enough over telling them that they're going to lose their right to abortion. We're going to say you're going to lose all of these other rights too.
Yes.
Contraception. I mean, I remember, didn't someone ask Mitt Romney about whether he wanted to ban? I think there was, am I misremembering this? Didn't Mitt Romney get asked, would you ban contraception? I mean, this is what
the libs
do.
There is an argument that they are trying to make, Buck. And this to me goes to the point that Roe v. Wade being overturned is not the electoral strategy that's going to guarantee them success that many are trying to argue. Because what they're trying to build on is they are saying, well, if Roe v. Wade gets overturned, then Griswold could get overturned. And Griswold effectively is the precedent that allowed married couples to make birth control decisions. And so I think this is important, and I think this is a big conversation that moms need to be having with other moms, the same way that I've talked about these COVID restrictions and the incredibly deleterious impact that it has had on children. And who made that happen? These are conversations that moms need to have. And I think Republicans need to be straightforward, transparent, and clear about this. We're not coming for your birth control, right?
There's no big national, decades-long anti-birth control in the home. That doesn't even exist. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to have like a black market for condoms? I mean, give me a break. This is absurd. No one actually.
But they're trying to sell it, and there are people who want to sell it, and there are people who are willing to buy it. And that is why this word of mouth conversations that moms have, which is if you want to know how every business works, Buck, that involves children, it's all word of mouth and it's all mom conversations. And that's why you guys out there listening to us right now need to nip this argument in the bud, because it is a lie.
Plus, the most effective form of birth control is free. Just become a radical feminist. Relief Factor, folks. Relief Factor is a product that provides a solution to people contending with everyday pain that refuses to go away. Created by doctors and perfected with over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product that was made for you. It goes to the source of your pain, which is often inflammation. It doesn't take long to determine if Relief Factor might work for you. Hundreds of thousands of people have taken Relief Factor and found real relief from their pain. Nearly 7 out of 10 of those who go on to order Relief Factor order more because it's working for them. 3 weeks, $20, some time, some consistency. That's all you need to see if this works for you. My dad takes Relief Factor every day. Our friends at Relief Factor have developed a 3-week quick start pack so you can see if this actually works for you. Here's what you do. You take Relief Factor 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 3 weeks, and you'll know if it works for you or not. Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Get the 1995 3-week quick start developed for you. One more time, go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Move more, live more, just enjoy your life more with Relief Factor.
Mm-hmm.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D. The number one fantasy sports app in America right now is PrizePicks. No surprise. PrizePicks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. I'm loving the app. Unlike other apps on the PrizePicks app, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports that you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, and that's more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. It's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states. Now, Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance, so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app today and open your account. You can use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app, use the promo code Clay to get set up and get that deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Look, I'm a two-way guy. Second Amendment, all about it. I appreciate the sport of shooting. I appreciate marksmanship. I appreciate the right to bear arms and to defend oneself. I also respect the craftsmanship of a well-made firearm at a phenomenal price. My first career out of college put me in parts of the world where, you know what, I had to have a firearm to protect myself. Years later, I keep myself trained and in shape with my firearms. Going to the gun range with my brothers on the weekend, that's a regular event for us. It's a great time to come together, and it helps keep our skills sharp. So if you're a firearms enthusiast like me, or you have one in your life, let me tell you about the industry's best-kept secret, Bear Creek Arsenal. They offer a wide range of premium calibers at a fraction of what the competition does. How does Bear Creek Arsenal do it? There's no middleman fees. That's how. I own one of their AR-15s. It is an incredible firearm. They know what they're doing. Discover Bear Creek Arsenal. Go online to bearcreekarsenal.com/buck. That's bearcreekarsenal.com/BUCK. Use my name, Buck, as your promo code for 10% off your first order. You're going to be amazed at the incredible quality of their firearms and the unbeatable price. BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. Use the name Buck to get that 10% off your first order.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We roll through the Wednesday edition of the program. We are joined now by David Marcus, who has done many things in his life, including being a theater actor. He's also Brooklyn-based columnist and author of Charade, The COVID Lies That Crushed a Nation. David, we appreciate you making the time to join the show here. But I wanted to play this audio for you to see what you thought of this. On Broadway, there was fury over a mask not being worn correctly. And I just want to let you react as a theater guy to what your reaction would be to this. Let's play it.
Please put your masks over your noses. Oh, do you want me to go put a mask on right now? Did I have a mask on during the show? Do you want me to put a mask on? Because I will. Your mask protects me so that I can perform. Put your mask over your nose. That's why you're in the theater. That is the rule. If you don't want to follow the rule, get the f*** out.
Woo, get out.
By the way,
you are if you do not respect the people that are sitting around you.
Salary.
You
pay my salary.
This is my wife's biggest fear, I think, probably, Buck, if she took me to a Broadway play, that I wouldn't be wearing my mask correctly, and I just start getting screamed at by an actress on the stage. David, when you hear that, your reaction is what?
Yeah, it's amazing. It is the perfect symbol of why theater is basically dead in the United States of America, because theaters don't want to put people on stage who are going to do an entertaining show for you anymore. They want to put people on stage to lecture you about how you should live, right? Don't forget the cast of Hamilton lecturing Vice President Pence, right?
Yeah.
That's what this industry has become. I spent 15 years in the New York theater scene. And listen, man, Hollywood's progressive, but I mean, Hollywood's the National Review compared to the New York theater scene, and they've destroyed an industry. And that was just a perfect whiny screaming example of exactly how they've done it.
I mean, by the way, David, great to have you on the show, man. I live right next to, I walk past a Broadway theater every time I go to and from my apartment, and there's a line of people outside. There's these mask minders that have their masks on outside, mind you,
who
walk up and down the line. They also do this for the Colbert show, whatever, same thing. The mask minders make sure you are masked up in line outside before you go in. And then the ushers, from what I understand, I talked to a friend who went to a Broadway show recently. They, you know, if you're like probably talking or being annoying, things that actually bother normal people, nah, that's not the big deal. If your mask drops down, you get one warning, and then they come over and basically say, well, you know, do you want to be expelled from the theater? I mean, why would anyone put themselves through this is what I wonder. Like, how can anyone, David, the people that are going to these theaters in New York, and there's some other places across the country where I think this still exists, but nowhere like Broadway. They're going to crowded restaurants and bars before and after they sit in the Broadway theater without masks on.
No, look, none of it makes any sense, of course. But again, I think it's down to an American arts community that are just rule followers, that don't even make art anymore. They just kind of like pat people on the heads for having the right views about, you know, race and gender and masks. I mean, when I started doing theater in the 1990s in New York, you know, the last thing we were ever doing was thinking about wearing a mask or not getting sick. We were artists. You know? We were dangerous. You know, these people are about as dangerous as Elmer's glue.
David, we were just talking about off air because Buck obviously is in New York City. Ali, our producer, a lot of our staff are there, and we're doing a 1-year anniversary event in New York City soon. And are you concerned as someone who lives in Brooklyn that with COVID cases ticking back up, with the Biden White House talking about the midterm variant that might suddenly cause 100 million more cases, you still got 2-year-olds that have to wear masks in New York, to Buck's point. You got actors and actresses lecturing people from the stage in Broadway productions for not wearing their masks correctly. Are you concerned as the summer comes to a close in the next several months and we move towards the fall, that insanity is going to return its full grip of fascist power to New York City, the place that you live?
Oh, yeah. I'm concerned. You know, it's not just the place I live. It's the place that I love. And, you know, it's happened too many times. I mean, there were too many times when, you know, I'd see Buck and I'd say, Buck, I think we turned the corner here, right? Nope. So, I am very concerned. I will say, though, that on the basic institutional level, the freak out for the most part is calming down. Like, you know, my 11-year-old had COVID recently, and a year ago in terms of school, that would have been, you know, the end of the world and everything. And it's just not anymore. So I do think that the people who run the institutions and most of the New Yorkers don't want to go back to that. But look, if our governor says you're going back, we're going back, man. We learned that lesson, right?
It's crazy. David Marcus is a columnist for the New York Post, author of Charade, the COVID Lies That Crushed a Nation. David, I don't know if you saw it or heard it, but Fauci got an honorary doctorate at the University of Michigan. I guess it was over this past weekend. And there was uproarious applause for this guy, like standing ovation. And I just, There's a part of me that I'm never going to let this go until the truth about Fauci becomes the overwhelming lore of the land, if you will. Like, I just refuse to let this guy, not just as a New Yorker, a lot of people listening in cities across the country had to deal with the lunacy as well. But in New York, it feels particularly personal, the Fauci crap.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely does. I mean, it doesn't help that the guy's from South Brooklyn. But, listen. There is a certain percentage of the American people who went to such bizarre, crazy extremes, not leaving their apartment, you know, washing their groceries, not touching their face, all of these things, right, who bought completely into it, who are never going to be psychologically capable of admitting that that was a mistake, of saying, I refuse to hug my grandmother for 2 years. Oops. Right? There's a lot of people who are just never, that's a big thing to have to face. And I think a lot of people are just not going to do it. We already have the studies, guys, right? We have the Johns Hopkins study. We have other studies. We know that Florida didn't have vastly more deaths than New York and did way, way better economically. The results of this whole thing are in. There's just a bunch of Americans who are never going to accept it.
Speaking of that, David, I'm sure a lot of people saw the Bill Gates news where Bill Gates basically, along with everybody else who's gotten 4 COVID shots, feels obligated to say when he tests positive, I'm so thankful for my COVID shots because otherwise this would be so much worse. I think most reasonable people out there, and I put this tweet out yesterday, Buck, if you got a shot for something 4 times and you still got it, you would think, what in the world's going on? How awful is this COVID shot? Will people, David, ever acknowledge that much of what they have done, whether it's masks, whether it's getting a billion COVID shots, that they really haven't done anything to alter the risk analysis? 2-year-olds wearing masks, the requirements in New York have done nothing. You just mentioned the divergence between Florida and New York, and all of New York has done, and many blue state cities and regions have destroyed their economy with no comparative health benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing that Gates said, this might have been the same interview, but I believe it was in the last week, was, you know, he said, well, you know, we couldn't possibly yep. have known at the beginning that the infection fatality rate was much lower than we thought. You know who knew that on, I believe, March 7th, 2020? Was Donald Trump, who did an interview with Sean Hannity where he said he had a hunch that fatality rate was much, much lower. Why? Because we weren't testing asymptomatic people who don't show any illness.
Yep.
Donald Trump was absolutely right. That was early March 2020. So this idea that Bill Gates, with everything he has at his disposal, didn't know this, it really just shows you what was going on here.
Check out Charade, the COVID lies that crushed a nation. David Marcus. David, great to have you on, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
Look, a regular listener here recently took her car into the tire shop asking for a wheel alignment. Something was wrong when she was driving it. She knew that, and she thought it was maybe a $100 fix. Turned out it was a lot more than that, costing her some $2,200 in repairs. How do you even plan for that kind of repair bill? If she had CarShield, she would have been protected from such an expense. CarShield is America's number one choice for vehicle protection plans. When something goes wrong, you count on them to help save you from expensive repairs and a whole lot more. CarShield offers protection plans for around $100 a month. Whether your car is brand new this year or celebrating a decade on the road, it doesn't matter. There's a plan for you. When you need a repair, you don't have to deal with the paperwork or headaches. All you got to do is choose the mechanic to do the work, and CarShield administrators handle the rest. You can also count on CarShield to help take care of you when your car breaks down and you're stuck on the side of the road. Roadside towing assistance, car rental options, and trip reimbursement are all included. Get coverage today. Lock in your price, and it'll never go up. That means as long as you own your car, there will not be a price increase. When your car breaks down, you can count on CarShield for help. Go to carshield.com/buck. That's B-U-C-K. carshield.com/buck or call 800-321-3670 to save 10% on your plan. That's carshield.com/buck or 800-321-3670 to save 10%.
Clay and Buck, rolling on through here. Thanks for being with us, team, all across the country. Our friend Vivek Ramaswamy is with us now. He's the founder and executive chairman of Strive and the author of the very excellent book, Woke Inc. Vivek, great to have you on.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. Look, before we talk about the solution to a form of corporate wokeness, a very powerful, very broad scale one, can you put into just layman terms for all of us the problem here when it comes to wokeness, woke capital, and how it affects places, massive asset managers, financial institutions like BlackRock, State Street? What's going on?
Yeah, so look, I think that there is a fiduciary duty problem here where what's happening with these large asset managers, BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, you said them, they manage over $20 trillion. That is more than the GDP of the United States. But here's the problem. That money belongs to everyday citizens whose capital they're using to advocate for policies in corporate America that most of those everyday citizens would disapprove of. And I think that that is the greatest fiduciary betrayal of our time that no one has paid attention to, no one has woken up to, and certainly no one has stepped up to solve. That's the problem we're stepping up to solve. And it runs pretty deep, and I'll tell you how deep it runs is I think it's gotten so bad that it borders on an antitrust problem. Yeah, the Arizona Attorney General has actually launched an antitrust investigation. He called it boldly, in my opinion, and possibly correctly, the greatest antitrust violation, the biggest antitrust violation in history, where I'll just run you through a thought experiment here. Imagine the CEOs of, say, Exxon and Shell and Chevron got together in a room and decided that they were going to cut gas production and gas prices at the pump spike as a result. That'd be the stuff of movies, right? People are walking out with handcuffs. That's not what's happening here, but it's pretty close, where the top asset managers in the world who own those same firms are basically mandating that they do the same thing, and somehow we celebrate that as ESG. I think that's a problem. And so what we're doing is we're bringing a different voice to the table, saying that, you know what, if you're a company, you should focus exclusively on delivering excellent products and services to your customers, not on political agendas and not on social agendas. And I hope that's going to be good for restoring the heart of our economy.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. The book was fantastic, Vivek. And I actually have been, I'm going to be honest with you, until you started raising the red flag here and pointing out some of these issues, I went and did my own research. And the guy who's probably the most powerful in America that most people don't know in terms of having influence here on corporate woke politics is Larry Fink. He is the CEO of BlackRock. And I think people are still learning what all of this means. Can you explain where Larry Fink, a guy who is the CEO of BlackRock, derives his power from and what he's able to do basically to bend many of these companies towards his own political will when many people out there are not even aware of the power that he wields?
Yeah, and look, I'll quote Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett, who said, Larry Fink is not my emperor, more recently.
Yeah.
I think CEO is an inappropriate title. Emperor might be more appropriate. So what happened here? Let's take a walk through history lane here of the last decade and a half. After the 2008 financial crisis, right, there was a new demand of American capitalism saying that greed is no longer good. You know, we need to find a new model. Larry Fink is the guy who stepped into that void and turned that into an opportunity, who said that, you know what, we just have to play a different game here that we call this stakeholder capitalism. The old left used to be the Occupy Wall Street left knocking on our doorsteps. Let's put them to one side by now start talking about social responsibility and preach about the racially disparate impact of climate change after you fly in a private jet to Davos. This is pretty good work. You blow a smokescreen that distracts people from the essence of what they were mad about and use corporate power to actually advance the very progressive agendas that used to come after corporate power in the first place. And it turned out he used that as a marketing tool to create the world's largest asset manager today, managing over $10 trillion. And what they do is they show up as the shareholder and say that, you know what, Milton Friedman might have said that you, the CEO, owe a duty to the shareholders and you shouldn't be pushing social agendas. Well, guess what? I am the shareholder, and I am telling you that you must push these social agendas, or else I'm going to dock your pay, or else I'm going to fire you as CEO, or else I'm going to replace your board directors. And so most CEOs bend the knee and do it. You know, a really practical example, Disney, people think that this guy is just bending the knee to his progressive employees. Well, not so fast. It's actually a deeper problem. You look at the top shareholders of Disney, it's none other than those big three, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. So this runs pretty deep. And you think we live in a system of free market capitalism with competition. Well, guess who the top shareholders of Microsoft and Apple are? Competitors, right? Or Coke and Pepsi. Or let's just say Shell and Exxon or Chevron. These are supposed to be competitors in the economy. Turns out they all have the same top shareholders. That's the problem here. And so what I'm aiming to expose, and the problem not only to expose but to solve, is that actually even though folks like Larry Fink or BlackRock claim to be the shareholders of those companies and dictate what those companies do, actually they're not the real shareholder. The real shareholders are the firefighters, the nurses, the doctors, the small business owners of this country who unknowingly see their money directed through their 401k accounts, their pension fund accounts, et cetera, to the hands of these firms that are voting their shares and advocating for policies in the boardroom that would make their blood boil if they actually knew what was going on, but they don't. And that's why I think transparency is going to be the key here. And that's why I think though we have a big mountain to climb, and believe me, it's a big mountain because they have BlackRock and other firms have mastered the lobbying game, have mastered the game of government capture. Look at the number of BlackRock alumni that staff the administration and the White House and the Treasury Department and the Council of Economic Advisors. It is crony capitalism today, so it is a big hill to climb. But the thing we have on our side is that at the end of the day, the voices of the American people and the desires of the American people, not just as citizens but as shareholders, are demanding, once they're aware of it, a new direction. That's what we're providing.
We're speaking to Vivek Ramaswamy. Woke Inc. is his book, and he's the founder of Strive Capital. And to that end, more on the solution, Vivek, which you're trying to build. You've already raised $20 million, I believe, for this venture. What's it going to do, and how does it affect the folks out there? I mean, as you mentioned, if you got a 401k, it's probably with one of these financial giants. You want to build an alternative to those woke financial gargantuan companies.
Yeah, so look, that's just the seed capital. You know, the Wall Street Journal broke the story, so we ended up announcing it a little bit earlier than expected. But at the end of the day, we should probably talk again in the third quarter of this year, because the thing, that's when we're going to launch our first product. And these are going to be, you know, products that live out our mission, that allow everyday shareholders to have a choice, that give them an opportunity to be able to help us realize our mission of bringing a different voice to the table in corporate America. So I'm limited in what I can say about it right now, but let's come back in the third quarter when we said we're going to launch our first product. And I hope that this is the beginning of a long journey that actually represents the voice that most Americans want to bring to corporate America, which they don't want capitalism to be political. They don't want the places where they shop or where they work or where they invest to be political. And you know what? I think this, you know, this is, it's really important to me too that this is not just a left wing or a right wing movement. This is about reviving the heart and soul of American capitalism itself, is that by depoliticizing the private sector, I think the thing that we're going to be able to do is hopefully recreate solidarity between different people, irrespective of whether they're on left or right or black or white. We come together in an apolitical private sector that's supposed to bring us together. We lost that with the rise of stakeholder capitalism and BlackRock-led capitalism over the last decade. We want to restore a new type of capitalism, the classical kind of capitalism at the heart of American capitalism, in the next decade ahead. So I'll be happy to say more about that in a few months.
I think your battle is an important one. Also, do you believe that there was a significant message sent based on what you wrote about in Woke Inc. when Ron DeSantis fired back against Disney and basically let it be known that the right was not just going to continue to kowtow to a tiny percentage on the left that is woke, that had been driving the trajectory of our country?
Yeah, I think it's been a powerful message. Disney is just a great example to look at, where there's good survey data on this, where over 60% of their own customers were put off by their decision. Okay, so if we were a shareholder of Disney, the thing we would tell Disney is knock it off. Three words to Bob Chapek: knock it off. You're alienating your customers. Customer volume is down. Your stock is down more than the S&P 500 over the same period, and you have had clear losses of business benefits in the state of Florida. That's not what you should be doing if you're focusing on excellence for your customers. And yet the top three shareholders of Disney today don't give them that message. Instead, if anything, if you read between the lines of their comments in other contexts, it actually seems to encourage them to exactly take the kinds of harmful positions that they have. So, you know, I do think there's room for political responsiveness and even legal responsiveness here. But actually, the solutions that I prefer the most are competition through the market itself. All state actions have unintended consequences, even ones that are necessary to be taken. That's why I generally prefer, whenever possible, let's sort these things out through the marketplace of ideas and through the market itself, and actually leave it to consumers to make the decisions. And I think that's going to be the way that we hope to reform the asset management industry. And not just the asset management industry. That is the one industry that's upstream of every industry in the American economy, which is what my real motivation is.
I think the battle that you're fighting is an incredibly important one. I encourage you to check out Woke Inc. It's a fantastic book. He is Vivek Ramaswamy, and he is fighting the battles that many of us need to be fighting in both the marketplace of ideas and also the capitalistic marketplace in general. Look forward to talking to you again, Vivek.
Thank you for having me, guys. Talk to you.
Look, Mike Lindell and MyPillow right now have got a buy one, get one free extravaganza on multiple products. You've heard us talk about in the past with our promo code Clay and Buck. Right now, buy one, get one free on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Excellence MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, all of them 60-day money-back guarantee. Here's what you need to do. Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials to check out this buy one, get one free deal on select products. And thanks to our promo code, you'll also get a copy of Mike Lindell's book for free with your purchase. Again, this is an incredible offer. Buy one, get one free. MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. Go to MyPillow.com today. Use the promo code Clay and Buck, C-L-A-Y-B-U-C-K. Pop it in there and buy one, get one free at MyPillow.com. Do it today.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Look, I'm a two-way guy. Second Amendment, all about it. I appreciate the sport of shooting. I appreciate marksmanship. I appreciate the right to bear arms and to defend oneself. I also respect the craftsmanship of a well-made firearm at a phenomenal price. My first career out of college put me in parts of the world where, you know what, I had to have a firearm to protect myself. Years later, I keep myself trained and in shape with my firearms. Going to the gun range with my brothers on the weekend, that's a regular event for us. It's a great time to come together, and it helps keep our skills sharp. So if you're a firearms enthusiast like me, or you have one in your life, let me tell you about the industry's best-kept secret, Bear Creek Arsenal. They offer a wide range of premium calibers at a fraction of what the competition does. How does Bear Creek Arsenal do it? There's no middleman fees. That's how. I own one of their AR-15s. It is an incredible firearm. They know what they're doing. Discover Bear Creek Arsenal. Go online to bearcreekarsenal.com/buck. That's bearcreekarsenal.com/B-U-C-K. Use my name, Buck, as your promo code for 10% off your first order. You're going to be amazed at the incredible quality of their firearms and the unbeatable price. BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. Use the name Buck to get that 10% off your first order. No surprise, but do you know the number of abortions in states where it's deemed legal have increased since the overturning of Roe v. Wade? Sadly, unborn babies' lives are more at risk than ever, and that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn introduces moms to their precious babies through ultrasound. When a mom in crisis hears her baby's heartbeat and sees her or him on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. Preborn has rescued hundreds of thousands of babies' lives, and their network of clinics are located in the highest abortion states, standing strong for moms in crisis and the most vulnerable,
preborn babies. Five ultrasounds are just $140, helping to rescue five babies. Preborn relies on donations from us. To donate securely, use your cell phone and dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 saying baby, or go to preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/buck. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Visit preborn.com/buck, sponsored by Preborn.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We are finishing off the Wednesday edition of the podcast. Encourage you to go grab, sign up for the podcast. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton's name. Boom, you'll make sure that you never miss a single moment of the program. Vivek was just great. Also, David Marcus was fantastic in the second hour. And Buck, we've been talking about it off the air. There was a story that both of us could not stop checking out. The details on it, maybe everybody's thought about it before. Guy was up in a Cessna plane, passenger. The pilot has an emergency and is no longer able to fly the plane. And the passenger, who had never, ever flown an airplane, put on the headset and air traffic control walked him through landing the plane. And I'm going to be honest, this is something I've worried about before. I had never been in a situation where I was on the plane and it was just me and the pilot until recently, just a couple months ago. And I legitimately was sitting in the back of the plane thinking about this. Do you think you could land a plane if that was the situation? If the pilot became incapacitated and it was just you and you had to go up to the cockpit, do you think you could pull this off?
I'm a confident fellow, Clay, so, you know, my CIA training would kick in, which would involve memo writing, not plane flying.
Yeah, right.
But, I think I'd get it done.
I wouldn't bet
all the money in the world on me, though. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have a lot of confidence in myself. I had never been in that situation, and the guy who was flying the plane, I was like, man, I'm glad he's around my own age, because if it had been an older guy, I would have been like, oh my God, what happens if he has a heart attack? What happens if something goes on here? I can't think of anything much more terrifying than suddenly having to climb into the pilot's seat land an airplane.
Can we just think about, there's a moment here where the pilot, I mean, in a medical emergency, he passed out.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is like something that you would see in a movie where all of a sudden, one second, the pilot maybe had a stroke, a heart attack, whatever it may be, out. So it's not even like the pilot is, you know, incapacitated, but awake and can tell you, you know, let's say that, you know, he had been, you know, injured in some way or whatever. You're alone. You're in that cockpit and you're going down and you're not going to make it unless, I mean, and by the way, credit to air traffic control. Can you imagine you're an air traffic control guy? You're sitting there and all of a sudden it's like, I've never flown a plane before in my life, and the pilot is knocked out cold, and I don't want to die, so can you please help me figure this out? Full credit to them. This happened down, it was Bahamas to Florida was the flight here, and they managed to pull this one off, which is pretty remarkable. I mean, I gotta say, you know, Not everybody will be able to pull this one off. I mean, I think also the panic that would set in for that one moment, you'd be like, this is rough. Now, I'd probably
also got to get, you know, even those planes are not very big, Buck, right? So even getting up into the cockpit area with an incapacitated pilot would be a difficult thing to even pull off.
I think if you're telling me, though, if it's a Cessna and you're only there's only two people in the plane, which I believe was the case here, that feels more doable. Let's just say, I mean, this is like from the movie Airplane or something. Let's say you're on a fully stacked, you know, 747 or something, full of people. And for some reason, it's all on you. You got your headset on. The pilots are all out cold, whatever. That I don't think. I think that I would just panic. I think I'd have a heart attack. I don't know.
Well,
I think
I'm not an expert. I've never actually tried to, you know, gone up and even done anything in an airplane. But my understanding, Buck, is that the bigger the airplane, the easier it is to fly, meaning this, and our pilot audience can tell me if I'm a total imbecile here, because so much of the big planes is computerized now, I think it might be somewhat easier to take the controls in a. Now, that's obviously that's a lot more.
That may be true. Then maybe you could hit the auto. Maybe they could just say, hey, hit the autopilot, hit this, hit that, and you're good. I'm just saying, if there were 100 other people on the plane.
Oh, there's way
plane,
more lives at stake. Yeah, it's way more stressful than just yourself. But I think it might be more difficult to land the Cessna because those are less controlled by the computer right. technology than it would be to suddenly find yourself in a 747 cockpit.
I think in fixed wing, you would have a shot. I think if we're talking rotary, we're probably toast.
Also, I think because
helicopters are really tough. I know fixed wing pilots who are like, I can't fly. I knew them in the military. They're like, I'm a fixed wing guy. I don't mess with those propeller things.
Oh, I don't, not only that, I think the time of day matters. The weather, you know, because if you've ever been up in some of those little planes, when there's a storm coming through, that is you're bouncing around a lot. And if you're flying at night, it's a lot different than flying during the day, too. I mean, so this is a heck of a story, but congratulations.
The guy's okay, apparently. I think both of them ended up okay. So, see, look, we end on a happy story. I believe that they're both. I know the guy landed. He's okay. I believe the pilot also ended up getting medical attention. Well, I should check on this one. Clay, we covered a lot of ground today, my man. And tomorrow, we've got Kennedy from Fox Business of Kennedy fame, her own show over at Fox. She'll be talking to us. Our buddy Rob Smith, who is a commentator, author, Army veteran, and all the news of the day, man. It's going to be fantastic.
Cannot wait. I look forward to continuing to have a good time down here on the Gulf Coast. Appreciate all the people who listen to the show down here in this market. And, man, we'll continue to be voices for sanity in an insane world tomorrow.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton. On the front lines of truth.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.